Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Mark Gaberti, and this is the podcast for entrepreneurs who are looking for the breakthrough for their businesses. We all have one life to live, and there are so many different things that we could possibly be doing within our lives, and there are so many different things that we want to accomplish. That is why we really need to take more care in how we are designing the lifestyles that we are living so it reflects how we want to live our lives. In this episode, you will learn exactly how to design your ideal lifestyle. So today's guest is a published writer, speaker, life coach, and co-founder of SHFT, an online support group which helps build your self-confidence. By combining what he learned in therapy school and life coaching, the angry therapist came to be. However, instead of thinking himself as a therapist, he prefers to think of himself as a lifestyle designer. Today's guest for episode 130 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than John Kim. John, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much. Wow, I love your energy.
Thank you, John. And I really look forward to diving into designing our ideal lifestyle. But before we do that, I'd love to get some backstory. So how did the angry therapist come to be?
Man, it all started with the divorce. I was in the screenwriting world, and I was just kind of miserable and, you know, trying to fight the universe. I was unhappy. My marriage was not working out. And so I ended up getting a divorce. And after that, I decided to change careers and become a therapist. And so I was kind of learning how to help people at the same time I was going through my own rebirth. And I decided to create a little blog called Angry Therapist. I just thought that was kind of funny. I pulled the curtain back and I started blogging and being really transparent, and I was humanizing myself. And so it kind of worked backwards, but it matched the title of the blog. And so when people ask why I call myself the Angry Therapist, it just is my way of saying that I'm human, you know?
And it's interesting how you mentioned this rebirth, because in order to design our ideal lifestyle, sometimes we do have to initiate that rebirth. And for some people, it may be difficult to figure out, okay, what do I like rebirth myself into? Or they may not see the need for it. So how are you able to make this rebirth? And what is your advice for people who may need to do that?
Yeah, I think it's organic. You know, I think a lot of people, especially when they come out of expired relationships, they go through their own version, you know, their own eat, love, pray, or their own hero's journey. And it's this idea of reconnecting with parts of you that you've kind of lost when you're in the relationship, you know?
And we do lose certain parts of ourselves in relationships like those. I don't know as deep into that yet, but I feel like I'm going to be learning more about that as I continue on. But part of lifestyle design is you're going to have to change some things in order to allow new parts of your life to come in. So let's say you have this idea of who you want to become, but you're not quite there yet. So how do you take some actions right now in your life to help you design the life that you want?
Yeah, I talk a lot about building a new container, a new life space. And I think the beginning of that is this idea of practicing transparency. And it means to be honest, not only with others, but yourself. And, you know, to be honest with yourself means to really take a hard look at where you're at in your life, what makes you happy, what doesn't, and why, who's around you. You know, are you passion driven? Are you do you have a sense of purpose? You know, all these things that fall under the umbrella of life, and then start designing a life that gets you to maneuver more at your potential. So I think a lot of people, they're kind of in a victim mode or a chasing state. That was definitely me. And to turn that around where you start to pull from an attracting mindset, right? A growth mindset. And I think that ripples through everything. And, you know, your life just kind of lines up. And so I just like the idea of starting with being transparent, and then this idea of connecting with parts of yourself that you have lost. And by doing so, you kind of go through this realignment. You start building self-worth, and you start running toward your purpose or what you feel that you're meant to do, you know?
And part of that is reconnecting with ourselves and looking inward. But when it comes to the lifestyle design, part of it is looking inward to figure out, hey, these are some of the things that I could be doing. But it's also part looking outward. And as John pointed out, like the people around you, it makes a big difference. And
for sure, I really believe in that idea that, you know, you're the kind of the sum of the five or six people that you surround yourself with. And, you know, it's like it's proven. I mean, if you look at fitness and you look at things like CrossFit, where, you know, the community is what allows you to grow, even like, you know, AA and other even like church, like any kind of community that is promoting the best versions of, you know, the best parts of you. That's because we're not meant to do life alone. I think that is going to help you grow organically. And also it's sustainable. You know, a lot of people are out there on their own, trying to change on their own. And it's, we're tribal creatures. We're not meant to do this on our own. So part of life design, and you really nailed it, is all the external, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people. People are going to call you out on your shit, you know, make you accountable, all of that, in all areas of your life.
Now, I feel like this is something that a lot of people listening will grasp. Like they'll understand, like I'm the average of the five people who I spend most of my time with. But let's say that you find yourself in a toxic environment. Your best friends are lowering your standards. They're not helping you. Like you have this idea, you want to branch out, you want to do all these great things, but the people you're with are not of that mind. And some of them, like let's say like a best friend, like how do you change that environment? Because I see some people not willing to let go of that, even though they know.
And listen, I'm not encouraging you to just, you know, cut relationships. But I am encouraging you to really review them and explore them. And I don't think that history alone is enough to have a friendship. And I think a lot of people, because they go way back, because, you know, they went to high school with someone, that they're going to be, you know, lifelong friends. But the truth is, we drift, we get into different things, we outgrow friends. And if you're just holding on to people because of history or because you knew them when you were younger, but they're toxic or they're bringing you down or they're negative, you're doing yourself a disservice, you know, and also them too. And so it's difficult. I think the first step is to, once you're aware of it, is actually try to work on it, you know, see if you could change the dynamic, communicate, you know, be transparent. Let the person know that, you know, there's some things that don't work for you in the friendship, or maybe it's lopsided or whatever. Address it. And then if you can't, you know, salvage it or change it, then you I think cut ties. You know, then you don't necessarily have to announce it, but you start to fade away. You start to invest your energy in other people, and then kind of naturally people that, you know, aren't meant to really be in your life right now, they slowly drift away. And the people that are, or the people that you are, you know, gravitating toward, your new friends, they start to eclipse the, you know, the old friends or the people that were toxic or negative.
I like the idea of making the gradual shift as you meet more people who are going to up level your game, because you don't want to be lonely either, because that'll really hurt if you're in a situation like that. So it's very important that you're doing it gradually. But I would like to look a little deeper into the whole idea of lifestyle design. I mean, there are some people who they just imagine a rich lifestyle for themselves. And while I think you should be doing things to make more money, grow your revenue, financial freedom, that's not the only part. I mean, there's so many parts to lifestyle design, like family, spiritual, so many parts. So John, what is your approach to your lifestyle design? Like, what are all the things you're focusing on, like health, wealth, and other things, and how do you make it all work?
Yeah, man, that's a big question. I like this idea of working inside out instead of outside in. So I used to live a very outside in life, which means designing your life based on things that are superficial, chasing things that just for the sake of, because they're shiny, you know. I like the idea of first standing on your truth, what is honest to you, and if that lines up with the people that are around you, you know, who's supportive, who's toxic, and then kind of working inside out. So working, finding your voice, pulling from what I call your solid self, your authentic self, and then letting that ripple and designing your life and hanging your life on that so it means something instead of outside in, meaning designing your life based on, you know, whether it's copying someone else or what you think success is, which may be distorted or not meaningful to you anymore. A lot of us carry old blueprints or our parents' blueprints, you know. So anything that's outside of self and our truth, I think is, it's not sustainable, and it's not the way to design your life in a way that's going to be, that's going to maximize, you know, you and who you are and everything you have to give. So this idea of inside out, you know, and so some of the questions are like, you know, what is uniquely you? What kind of life do you want to live that is based on your truth, not other people's truth? Don't exchange your truth for membership. You know, it, these are more like internal things, right? What false beliefs that you walk with that you need to dissolve? What are some of the things that you're carrying that are not yours to own? Meaning, you know, maybe if your parents see something for you, but that doesn't line up with who you really want to be. So stuff like that, you know, and also look with partners, you know, are you designing a life that's based on someone else's definition of success, you know? So getting really honest with yourself and starting from there and then working outward. And of course, there's all the routines and the external things and, you know, being productive and how you design your day. But I like starting from the inside and working outward.
I really like that idea of focusing on being honest with yourself. And that does come back to the environment, because if you have one group of ideals and the people you hang out with are a different group of ideals, you're not living an honest life. Like, you're not living out the way that you want to, because you may enjoy the toxic environment like right now, but when you take yourself out of the toxic environment, you realize what you went through. I mean, you realize you made a mistake. Like, you realize you shouldn't have been in that environment. And I would also like to point out, like, yes, you are the average of the five people you spend most of your time with, but I believe there are people who, like, some of them are better than others in certain areas. So some people, maybe one of your friends, like, maybe really good for like a fitness part, but you may find someone else who's better for business. So multiple people can serve in your life in multiple ways. But we talked about the importance of getting out of that toxic environment a little earlier, but how do we start finding the right people? We talked about that, but for someone who doesn't know, how do we find the right people?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like this idea of designing your life by having tribes, you know. So like, you have your fitness tribe, you have your you know, if you have a company or you're doing stuff that's creative or whatever, you have that tribe. Then you have your partner who you're intimate with or a relationship. And it, you know, we don't, it's almost impossible to have the same small tribe that you know, for every part of your life, because we're all different, we have different interests. So that's kind of what I do. I have a group of friends, I have a tribe that I sweat with, and they push me, and they're really into fitness, and they and it's not like, you know, it's not like I'm using them. I mean, they're my genuine friends. I do other things outside of the fitness world with them. But then I also have another group of friends who you know, I eat crepes with and talk about relationships, and they stretch me and call me out in other ways. And they have different capacity, right? And then I have other friends that are kind of entrepreneurs and people that are going to help me design my day and maximize my routines and get me in the right set for business and branding. And so I think it's like, you have, imagine like you have an engine and you have like all these different pistons, and say you have three pistons. It's okay to have three different tribes and thread that into your life, so you get all three pistons going, and you know, you're getting all your social needs met. And you know, none just because you have different groups of friends doesn't mean that they're fake. They're just different friends, if that makes sense.
I understand that, like, different people have their different personalities, strengths and weaknesses, but we all, like, for our friends, like, we all appreciate them for something different that they do to contribute to our lives. So you don't want to just view someone as like, this person has this skill, I should meet them and get them for this skill and nothing else really matters. But instead, building those relationships, which is really important, because you can have your ideal lifestyle, but if you don't have anyone to share that with, or if you have a bunch of friends who you don't really feel like they're your friends, then what is the actual point of doing that? So we should definitely take that into consideration as we're for making new friendships and achieving a higher level of performance. But as we do strive for higher performance, sometimes we get stuck along the journey. I feel like that's natural. Like we have this ideal for our lifestyle, but it's just not happening. So
yeah, and you know, I gotta say that the high performance is the byproduct. It's what happens when you have authentic relationships with people who are going to push you and make you accountable. You know what I'm saying? So you're not like meeting people and using them for the performance. You're meeting people, establishing authentic relationships, and being picky about, you know, who you invest in, and then the chemistry, the engagement of that relationship is what creates the performance at that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I totally see how that chemistry would create the performance, but I feel like no matter how many people we're surrounded with or how accountable people keep us, I feel like it's possible for us to feel like we're not making enough progress to hit our big goals. And I'm wondering what do you do to shake things up to basically be able to hit those goals again and keep making progress, even though it may have been a little slow for a while?
Yeah. So I go back to this idea of attracting instead of chasing, and it doesn't mean to sit at home and cross fingers and hope. That's not what I mean. I mean, changing your state. So, you know, there's the internal and external, and under internal, a lot of thoughts, you know, a lot of us drown in our thoughts. We have like 60,000 thoughts a day, and they're exactly the thoughts we had yesterday. And most of our thoughts are negative, right? And so that negativity, that blanket covers us, and that's what we walk with, and we get drowned in that. And so creating new thoughts, creating a new belief system, and usually we do that through new experiences. There's affirmations, there's morning rituals, you know, all the stuff that you read about, you know, stopping negative self-talk, negative self-talk and all that. But it's really about your belief in yourself and creating this new belief system, because I really believe that because of our story and all the shit that we've been through or how we've been treated, we walk with old or faulty belief systems that don't serve us. And that's where we pull from. And then we start dipping into lower frequencies. And instead of attracting, we're just like chasing, we're desperate. You know, and that's when you start exchanging your truth for membership, and then you start to just feel hollow and nothing good happens.
I really love this whole concept of attracting things instead of chasing them, because like a chase, it feels like a desperate attempt. And like,
yes,
as you're not getting it, like one of the things I've heard about desire is, I think I've said this once before, but it's a contract to be unhappy until you've actually accomplished the goal. And it's important to want to have goals, but you should think of attraction instead of just trying to chase. So I really do love that approach. But even if people who do try to attract their goals versus chasing them, not everyone does achieve their full potential. Some people, they have this idea of their potential and they really want to hit it, only to just reset the moving target a little further away. But what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
Man, fears, old beliefs, false beliefs. That's why I think when people just, you know, with like the whole New Year resolution and stuff, when people are just chasing after their goals and they don't accomplish them, they get burned out or they get discouraged, and it's not sustainable. So that's why if you work for Inside Out and you change your state, or you change your belief system, or you change, you know, how you feel about yourself, or you start believing something different, what you can, you know, what you can do or what's possible, then that's sustainable, because now you're working inside out, where you are now just basically a different force. And so I think that's when stars line up. If you're just going after goals, it's usually short-lived. You know, it's the same thing with people who want to lose weight. Instead of making fitness a lifestyle, which is sustainable, you know, working inside out, they just try to chase numbers and how much, you know, weight they have to lose, and then they yo-yo back, and suddenly their, you know, their goals are they may reach their goal for a minute or two, but then they, you know, gain the weight back.
Sustaining the goal, that's definitely a big challenge, especially once you hit it, like you feel like you're done and you feel like you've accomplished something really big. And this is similar to like how like millionaires go broke, like they don't put in the work as much. So that's definitely part of like fear is definitely one of the big things that prevents us from reaching our full potential. But once we reach our full potential, even though we set that new target, we should make sure we're at least moving upward and not moving downward or taking it easy once we've hit our goal. So, John, I really do love that idea that you shared with us. And I know earlier you mentioned the whole you became like the angry therapist. You branded yourself like that because you were doing that rebirth after that divorce and that big challenge. And I'm wondering if there was another challenge that you faced and a lesson you learned during that challenge, or if you could just share a lesson from that challenge. So it's up to you if you want to share a new challenge that we don't know about or just focus on the one we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's challenges every day. You know, there's big challenges, there's small challenges. I don't think that's ever going to stop until we stop breathing, you know, and then who knows, after that, there might be more challenges. But I also, I'm not a big fan of this idea of hitting a full potential, because I think that as humans, we fluctuate. There is, it's not like a light switch where we hit our full and suddenly we're done. I think the way that life is we're always working on ourselves. We're always changing. We're always, we're always dissolving. Like fear will never go away. It's our relationship with fear that can change, right? And so then we have new fears, et cetera. So it's an ongoing process. And I think it's running away from that is what's going to keep you grayed out. Once you decide to look at it and take it on and lean into it. And as you mentioned earlier, having more of a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset, that new mentality, that new way of tackling life is going to be the engine that gets you over any mountain. It's not so much like, you know, here's a checklist of things to do and then you'll be good, you know, because life's going to throw stuff at you constantly.
I agree that life continues to throw things at us, and challenges are definitely, they're never going to go away. Like, I've never interviewed in the 130 episodes, someone says, I didn't have a challenge.
Right.
It all came to me easy. So challenges are definitely going to be part of the process. And
so if you have a growth mindset, challenge then becomes education, challenge then becomes school. You don't see failure as failure. You know, you see it as opportunity to learn and grow. And so then when you start reframing and looking at it that way, as life throws challenges at you, you see them as almost like workouts, right? They're going to make you faster, stronger, more intelligent, all that stuff.
And how do you get better at reframing it like that? Because I feel like some people, like they may be in this really deep challenge right now. And like, how do you reframe?
I think the power is in giving yourself a new experience, because most people are in their heads and, you know, they could like will it, they could think about it, they could imagine it, and that's all powerful. But until you give yourself that new experience and then there's a shift in your belief, you're always, it's going to be very two-dimensional and very kind of, it's not going to stick, you know? So it's like with any experience, you know, when you get your first muscle up, or when you first, lose the weight that you've already dreamed of, or you make your, I don't know, whatever it is, you get your first amount of followers, whatever your goals are, when you actually experience your goal, there's something in you that changes where you realize, oh, this is possible. Now I wonder what else could I do? So it's all about giving yourself that experience that proves yourself wrong, you know? And I think that's where the power is. So it's all about setting yourself up for those experiences. And if you're afraid, you're never going to be able to do that.
And these experiences are very important. And I mean, you really hit a very key concept. Challenges are learning experiences. We shouldn't view them as this bad thing. They teach us, they help us to grow and get that education. And one of the best ways to get an education, in my opinion, is to read books. And that's why I read anywhere from 10 to 30 books each month. And as the bookworm that I am, John, I'm wondering if you could give us three book recommendations that you believe would have a positive impact on us.
Oh, man. You know what's funny? And I'll be completely honest. I'm the complete opposite of you. And I really admire that you read so many books. I'm a conceiver. I pump out tons of content. I write a lot, but I don't take in stuff. I have trouble reading, so I listen to a lot of podcasts and I listen to a lot of audiobooks. But if I was to pick three, the superior man is something I read back in the day after my divorce, and it was it's about feminine and masculine energy. It's really good. That was one book that kind of really changed my definition about man. I'm gonna be a little arrogant and recommend my book.
Do it.
Just because, you know, I try to put all the stuff into a shot glass and cut out all the fat of self-help and just, talk about how to thread stuff into your life so it's sustainable. So I think that can be good for people. And then maybe Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy. Or, The Obstacle is the Way. That's a great one. His whole concept of the obstacle. And this is what we're just talking about, the challenges, the mountain being the way. Not so much, the pot of gold at the end of it, but the actual obstacle, the actual challenge, that is what life's about.
You can't go wrong with a Ryan Holiday book recommendation.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, John, thanks for sharing those great book recommendations. Don't forget, if you want to dive a little deeper into John's mindset, get that book, The Angry Therapist. All those book links and show notes be over at markcabrera.com/E130. But before we wrap this episode up, I'd love to flip the tables a little bit. So, John, I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question that we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Oh, wow. What a great question. Who do I want to be today? So not tomorrow, not in 5 years, not like what's my 3-year plan. Who do you want to be today? And you attack that with everything you have.
I mean, I feel like a lot of us focus on where we want to be in the future, but it's great to have that long-term vision, but understand that each day brings you closer. So ask yourself, who do you want to be today? That asking yourself that question can help you to think of an answer that would help you achieve your long-term vision. So,
and then more importantly, back it up with action.
Yes. Yes. Is any idea without action is not going to get any type of results. So you can have the greatest idea, but if you don't take action, it doesn't matter. So that's a really great insight, as were all the great insights that you shared with us throughout our time together. And Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to learn more about John, don't forget to get his book, The Angry Therapist. And he also has a training course, The Catalyst Intensive. Both of those will be over at the show notes page, markcabrera.com/E130. But I got to take some time right now and just thank John so much for coming on the show. I mean, John, I cannot thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us today.
Thank you, Mark, for making the effort to create a dialogue. I think it's important. And thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn more and get access to this free resource, visit markcabrera.com/retweet.